Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Oh, man. You guys, I'm going to need you to maybe keep me on time or I'll use this. We'll see what happens. So. You guys, it's Christmas, and it's happening too fast. It's coming too quick, right? I'm still somewhere around June in my... So, Father, we just ask you to bless this gathering, and Father, these awesome, sweet, precious people, and Lord, this church, and this staff, God, that is so dear to my heart, and I know the heart of all of us at Chino Hills, Father, and... Lord, we just ask you that you'd so knit us together more and more as we see the day approaching. And Father, that we would not lose sight of the reality of what this is all about. It's getting harder every year, Jesus. It's getting harder because there's just so much stuff going on. And so, Lord, teach us to dismiss ourselves from the intensity of it all and to focus on you. And that's what we want to do now, Lord, in this next half hour, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said... Amen. Amen. So listen, I'm going to go fast because I'm not going to victimize you. Here's what happened. Somewhere in the texting and all this kind of stuff over the last few weeks, my secretary had said to me, you have like 50 minutes. It's like here, 55 minutes. And so then the last text I got from Mike, it's like, okay, you have 30 minutes. And so I can do it in 5 minutes. The thing is, I want to be true to what God's given me. But you have kids here, right? No, somebody, don't you have kids here? Listen, the ones who have kids, it's kind of a mixed thing. The ones who don't have kids, we don't care, right? It's like, who cares? But the ones who do have kids, they're like saying, I don't care. Keep going. No, I'm kidding. It's the children's ministry people that are praying that I'll be on time. And I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be on time. You guys, because of this, though, let's just go for it, okay? We're family, right? We're going to be in heaven together forever. So I'm not going to try to polish anything up because, number one, I can't. Number two, I'm in Greg's house, and he's perfect at doing that. But I will tell you this. I'll tell you something that's very near and dear to my heart. If you have a Bible, open it up. If you don't, listen carefully. But... my Christmas verse every year is a verse that might be a little bit more different than what you might think for you. You know, Hallmark, you're not going to get this verse on a Hallmark card, but it's, to me, the most powerful Christmas verse of them all. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16, and this is what we're going to look at. It says this. It says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received or ascended up into glory. That's the Christmas verse, because that verse alone encompasses everything from his eternal state, his earthly life, back to his heavenly home. And that's the verse I would love for you to lay on your relatives and friends during the Christmas season. It's that time of the year, you know, we got to get together with people we don't really like. That's designed by God. And you got to eat ham or turkey with people you don't like. That's called family sometimes. And inevitably, someone's going to ask you, so are you still going to church? So then tell them, yeah, you know why? 1 Timothy 3:16. And let them have it. Here's the reason why. It's completely justified as one of the great verses of the Bible when it comes to us celebrating Christmas. And so here we go. We're going to run through this, if you don't mind. The first thing that I want you guys to consider this Christmas is the fact that the theme for us at Chino Hills, and maybe for all of us in heart, is born. That he was born. It says right here that without controversy. I love that. If you're an atheist tonight, I'm glad you're here, but listen, I'd love to get in a respectful argument with you. The word without controversy means that God has done something that cannot logically be refuted. Did you hear that? It means that God has done something that people can argue about, but they're not going to win. What God's word says is true, and these six arguments that he brings us ought to cause you and I to think regarding this time of the year. And so when it says God was manifested, if you have your Bible open, the word manifested is amazing because it means this. It means that God took what was once veiled, it was shrouded, not seen very clearly. And this is an amazing statement because God is saying, my Old Testament is awesome, it's true, it's pure, it's holy. From Genesis to Malachi, it's real. But for something to be even more clear than that, I have manifested my Son to you. The word manifest is God made it plain. He took what he is in theology and he gave it to us. So you're thinking about this. What did God do? In the fact that Jesus was born, what's going on? Number one thing is that he came into this world. When God manifested his Son to us, it was him coming into this world. You say, Jack, that's the obvious. But wait a minute, there's an argument in all of this for the believer to win. And I don't mean win, like take a non-believer and beat him up. That's not what I'm saying. But for us standing in truth at this Christmas season, that we need to just stand lovingly firm and say, hey, you know what? The Bible announces that God came into this world. That's the announcement of Christmas. People are going to be singing it. People are going to be sending cards one to another about it. And I want to encourage you, be bold this Christmas. Step out and speak up. Look, the way the world's going, it might be our last chance, right? It's pretty crazy. And all this tells me that Jesus is coming back soon anyway. So we're running out of time, and we need to tell people. So considering the fact that he announces, first of all, that God was manifested in the flesh, that he is this to us, that he came into our world for us, always blows my mind at Christmas, that he came to this world. Listen, friends, you and I are sinners saved by the grace of God. And one of the indicators that you and I are Christians is that though we be sinners, we never use it as a cloak or as an excuse. This kind of separates believers from the pretend believer. Oh, brother, you know what? It's really rough out there. And whew, we're all sinners, right? Yeah, but what are you saying? Well, you know, thank God for his grace. Yes, but what are you saying? Jesus Christ came into this world to deliver us from this world, not for us to be religious and to just cloak things over by us saying, isn't God good? Of course he's good, but God is holy. He's awesome. Listen, I just heard this last week in a message. I think it was Charles Stanley. I was driving. And he said, God is the best and the most loving for the believer, and God is the most terrible and terrifying for the non-believer. Do you ever think about that? We don't think about that enough. God is absolutely amazing. He came into this world, and he came into this world for us. And he saved us by his Son going to the cross in this world. He came. He could have left us alone. But the Christmas message is that he came exactly as the prophets foretold, which is a wonderful thing for us because when we talk about him being born into the world, it's exactly according to God's prophetic Bible. I have a lot of Jewish friends. I go to Israel a lot. Maybe you do too as well. And some of them, by God's grace, the Lord has allowed me to meet some pretty upper level Israeli governmental military type people. And what's fun is that they're not shy, you know, they're Jews. So they'll say straight up to me, what are you doing here? You come all the time. What are you doing here? I love your country. I love the Bible. Bible, you're a Gentile. Like I can't love the Bible because I'm a Gentile. And they know it's their book, but they don't believe their book by and large. You know, over 90% of the Jews don't believe their book. So what are you doing? What do you care? Because of the Bible. And what's amazing, I encourage you to do this, and it's the Christmas message. Think about it. The angels announced that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Do you remember what the indicator was? That him coming into the world? He was born in the city of Bethlehem or David. Everything about it's Old Testament. Remember that. You would never know that your New Testament's true without the Old Testament referencing everything first. That's how you know your New Testament's true. The Old Testament said it first. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't believe. Hey, listen, check this out. No book in the universe wrote stuff down in advance and then waited around for you to figure out and to watch and see what happens in the world. It's called prophecy. And the greatest superstar of prophecy is Jesus himself. And so the Bible talks about him coming. Look, to my Jewish friends, I say, well, you look, I'm a Gentile, but my God's Jewish. What do you mean? Well, number one, the promise of him coming into the world is in Genesis 3:15. God made a promise that the Messiah would come through Eve's line eventually and crush Satan's head. That's in the Bible. And then you go, Zechariah 9:9, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Zechariah 9:9 says that the Messiah is going to come riding on the back of a little colt, on the foal of a donkey. That's in your Hebrew scriptures. Oh, and by the way, Isaiah 7:14 says that there's going to be a scandal about him coming into the world. He's going to be born of a virgin. Oh, and Isaiah 9:6 says that he's going to be the eternal God come to earth in flesh, and the governments of the world will rest upon his shoulders. Yeah, that's the one I worship. That's why I'm a worshiper of your Messiah. Why am I? I wasn't born in a Christian home. It's because the Bible's true. 100% true. Well, because you say so? No, not because I say so at all. It's because God's word has proven itself to be true. When you look at it, it announces that the Messiah would come into the world. He would come into our world, which blows my mind. He would invade the life of Jack, using your pastor 42 years ago. I'm so grateful for that. He came and he manifested himself in, listen, his nature. This is amazing that Jesus Christ comes into the world at Christmas time for us, and he reveals, he's manifesting to us his nature. That the fact that God would be localized to a human body. Church friends, listen, we don't think about that enough. That God put himself into a human suit, human skin. That's what this verse is talking about. And it's pretty amazing because when you think about it, he manifested himself for a message. There's one message. The gospel, the Bible, so simple. From Genesis to Revelation, look, of course, it's a big book. It's about one message. And that's that God saves us. He saves us by the death of his son. If somebody were asking you this Christmas, why are you saved? So I'm saved because of the cross. That's why you and I are going to go to heaven. That's why Christmas is most important for us as believers. Remember when you were not a believer and you celebrated Christmas? I don't know how that was for you, but it's kind of empty. And then you become a Christian, you become an idiot in your family get-togethers. Oh, you can talk about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Somebody hangs a ball on the tree. Oh, I remember God shaped the earth by the power of his hands. I'm right. Isn't that a nice tree? God made the trees. He spoke them into existence. I mean, you're just crazy in love with him like that, which, by the way, we need to maintain, right? Like in a marriage, you got to maintain it, got to work at it. The honeymoon's over for some of us with Jesus. Now it's the day-to-day grind. It's a good thing. He manifested himself to us, though. It's in his message, and it's in the way that he's revealed himself. It's in his nature. And then the second thing, look in your Bibles, it says that he was born into our mess. That's what it says to me. When it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was justified in the Spirit. I even love the way that that sounds. God was justified in the Spirit. What does that mean? If you look in your Bibles, it's capital S, it's the Holy Spirit. You say, yeah, but what does that mean? Because Jesus did need to be justified. You know what? That's a great observation. I'm assuming you're making that observation where you're at. It means this, that God is the justifier. He was born into this world, and he's the justifier, listen, of our situation. Now, hang on to your seats. Don't leave yet, okay? When it says that he's justified by the Spirit, it means that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, his life, listen, his life it justifies us and not the way that you think. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, because I go to the Father, Jesus said. The fact that Jesus Christ came into the world at Christmas, it's kind of a bizarre thing to say, but it is very basic, pure theology, is that Jesus Christ came into the world, lived his life, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead, watch this, to do this. Jesus died for us as our representative for those who sinned, which is all of us in this room. Okay, so he pulls us to himself. Now watch, Jesus died for us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Jesus died for us. Now here's the theological reality, but we don't hear it much in church. Turn around now. Jesus died for God. You say, what? Not the way that you think. The great justifier, Jesus, by the Spirit, he brings lost man to the middle here in himself, and he brings the holy God here in himself. You see, that's why he had to be born of skin. That's why he had to come into this world that we celebrate at Christmas. Because we're lost, God's pure. God made the promises, God made the prophecies, God made the commitment to save us. On the basis of what Jesus Christ did. Listen, if you haven't read your Bible recently, you're not going to get to heaven by being good. You can't do it. Even if you decided today, I'm going to be perfect from this time on. Fantastic. The problem is you haven't been perfect up until this moment. And you and I have baggage. God sees our baggage. The only way that you and I can be absolved of that is not by you praying longer, giving more money, doing children's ministry, diaper duty, doing works for God. Nope. Maybe you were brought up, and if you just did 10 of these and 4 of those and gave this much, you're good. The Bible says that by the works of righteousness, we ain't going to make it. How do we make it? By trusting in this one that we celebrate at Christmas, who pulls lost mankind to himself here and turns and pulls the righteousness of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son for that matter, to himself. Thus, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Isn't that precious? I love it. So why do I go to heaven? Because of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean I run around and just, you know, live unchanged. That love, look, when you fall in love with somebody, you go bonker crazy. Changes your life. Now, look, okay, they're single, right? I'm not single, but there's men's ministry over here. Is that what I'm understanding? Men? How many of you men are single over here in this group? Don't be shy. You either are or you're not. Go ahead. If you're married, raise your hands. Okay. So here's the deal. When you're in love, this whole thing about keep the rules and you'll get to heaven. Listen, we're not told to keep the rules. We want to keep the rules. Okay? Now look, you're married and you operate off of your rules that you guys have made up. And those are good rules, I'm assuming, okay? And then you're single. A few of you are single. And so here's the deal. When you love someone, you lose your mind. And love is overriding everything. And if you remember when you first met that person that you fell in love with, remember at night you go to bed, good night, okay, see you, or I'll see you tomorrow, right? Yeah. No, you hang up. No, you hang up first. No, you go ahead. You hang up. No, you hang up. Remember that? Did you? Come on. Didn't you do that? You didn't? Oh, that's a bad illustration then. I thought everybody did that. Man, you couldn't stop thinking about him. And this is that, it's that kind of relationship with God is exactly what a believer's life ought to be like. We don't have to have rules. There shouldn't be rules in the hallway. Don't do this, don't do that. Well, isn't the Ten Commandments? Listen, the Ten Commandments are the rule book to show you how messed up you are, how bad you need God. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. That's why God gave it to us. We look at them and get frustrated by the time we're done with number one. It's like, forget it. Who can do this? By the way, the day that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, we forget the fine print. Moses, give the people the Ten Commandments. Oh, and in the day they break them, give them this prescription for blood sacrifice in the day that they break the law. You forget that. Thank God, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Right? Listen, here's my notes. It's just not working. Right? We're out of time. Here's the thing. That God was manifested in the flesh, because I got to get to my favorite part. He was manifested in the flesh, and look in your Bibles. It says that he was seen by angels. Circle that word seen if you see that there in your mark in your Bible. Seen. This is my favorite. Seen by angels. You say, that is a weird verse. That's a weird statement. What do you mean Jesus was seen by angels? I hope you appreciate this. For those of us who have kids, now, when I was born in 1858, my dad told me that he pulled up, took my mom to the hospital, and he went back to work. That's how they did it in those days. And they called the place and said, hey, you come pick up your kid and your wife. Nowadays, look, I don't know how it is. I've got my daughters 37 and 35. And so I remember, look, when they were born, I got to go in the room. I got to watch the whole thing. And, you know, at first you feel really responsible for it all. It's like, oh, well, here we go. And then very quickly, I became very irrelevant really fast. But they, you know, the nurses make you feel good, you know, about it. But here's the thing. And now I mean this reverently. When the show gets going, okay, I'm out of the way, but I'm close enough, and I can see what's happening here. There's a human coming out of my wife. And it is, in fact, a friend of mine passed out in the room. He was a non-believer. He woke up bawling like a baby and gave his heart to Jesus in the delivery room. You want to know why? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And so Mary in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, she's having a little lamb. And Jesus is coming out. And the word seen by angels, the word is gawked. We don't use that word anymore. You know what it means to gawk? It means to be, the word in Greek means big-eyed and open-mouthed. Who was doing it? Friends, listen, who was doing it? Angels. I'm going to submit to you, it's really hard to impress an angel. And the Bible says that when Jesus was coming, manifested in the flesh, he's coming into the world for the first time in skin, and the angels must have been in the spirit realm, all gathered around, with reverence, I mean, watching this delivery of Jesus coming through. Can you imagine? I see hair. I see black hair, curly hair. He's Jewish, curly hair, black hair. I see a hand. They would have been seeing him for the first time. The ancient scholars believe for this reason. Listen up, and then we'll end this. When it says seen by angels, it's epic. Epic enough to be in the Bible. But Jack, don't angels always see God? Not necessarily. The Bible tells us in heaven, when they appear before the throne of God, anybody know? That they are before him with their bot, with it's the scripture says that the seraphim, they have three sets of wings, six wings total. That ought to freak you out tonight. One of them has six wings. And it says when they come into the presence of God, with one set of wings, they veil or hide their body. Imagine, they hide their body. The next set of wings, they cover their face in his presence. And with the other set of wings, they fly in his presence. A lot of ancient scholars believe that the significance of this Christmas verse means this, that in the presence of God, since the day that angels were created, can anyone tell me who created angels according to the Bible? Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 4, tells us that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. So if he's the creator of angels, and he's the eternal God now manifested in human flesh, angels are open-eyed and open-mouthed at his arrival. That the Bible says that God made us humans a little lower than the angels. Isn't it amazing that the God who announces to you that he loves you so much is the one that put on a human suit and relegated himself to what is called kenosis. Only God can perform kenosis. Kenosis is the willful setting aside of God's certain particular powers as he wills in the flesh. Do you remember when Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know I can bring down a legion of angels if I wanted to? That's kenosis. You know, Jesus could have known anything at any time and did from time to time when he needed to. And then at times it would have benefited him to know, but he willed not to know. Why? Why would he do this? So he would know what it feels like when you are rejected by people. so that he would know what it feels like to be completely an outcast or to be abused or mutilated. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was mutilated physically more than any human ever. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that angels wanted to see him, so they gathered around a stable where he was coming into the world, and they freaked when they saw him first? They gawked. That's your Jesus. That's your Christmas Jesus. That's why he came into the world, is to save you and I. He's so awesome. I know it's getting hard to stay focused on him, you guys, in this world. It's really getting tough. And I don't know what to say about that, because I know what I'm supposed to do about it, me personally, but it's for me. I don't know. God tells me to put down the remote. God tells me to get off my phone. It almost sounds like a sin. Get off your phone. Get off of Facebook, God is saying to my heart, and get into my book. Look, we're busy. Oh, ministry's busy, and international radio and speaking places. You know what? Does that sound cool? It sounds cool when you're not doing it. You know what the hardest thing in the universe is? And I thank God for your pastor. It's hard to maintain. And the biggest thing of all, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. Look, it matters how much you love him for what he's done for you. If you're sitting here tonight going, oh man, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts, it's thou shalt not. No, not until you know him, then it's I get to. Big difference. And if God can put love in your heart for you to love someone and for someone to love you, for those of you who are in your singleness, how incredibly powerful that is and wonderful, dedicated to God it is. And those of you who are married, how incredibly powerful and dedicated that is. And for those of you who have kids, how wonderful and powerful and dedicated it is. If you can know this stuff, then why can't God be that way with you? Do you not love? Does someone love you? That's only true because God loves you. And don't miss him. Because he's awesome. Keep the fire going. Get alone with him. Start tomorrow. Preferably when it's dark. Early morning if you can. Set your clock a little early. Stumble your way to your room. Find a closet or a bathroom or whatever. And just say, Lord, you know, I heard that message last night. I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to tell you I love you. Try that tomorrow morning. Watch what happens. He'll meet you. And all of a sudden, religion goes out the window and relationship starts happening. That's the way of making love with God. He wants your soul. He's awesome. Okay, so Father, I thank you for the patience of these people. God bless children's ministry. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of these that are here tonight, that their journeys this Christmas, maybe some will be out of the country, some out of state. Maybe some will be hosting people from out of the country, from out of the state. And Lord, we're asking you in this late hour of human history that you'd use us to really affect other people because they need your love. A lot of hurting people out there. And Lord, I thank you that if I get my eyes off of you, I'll start to hurt. After 42 years of knowing you, Jesus, it's still as true today as it was then. Keep our eyes on you. Keep our hearts and eyes on the one who loves us the most. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus. And please come back soon. And Father, for anyone who may not know you in this place tonight, I pray that they would right now say to you, Lord, if that's true, what this guy's saying, can we know God like this? Then my friend, whoever you may be right now, ask him, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Help me to meet you. I want to know this is true or not. And I'm so confident, friend, he will meet you if you determine to meet him. And your life will be transformed. And he can reboot your life and start you all over again. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, you guys. Have a great Christmas.